Time to talk Browns football with Scott Petrick of the Chronicle-Telegram and BrownZone.com. Browns took on the Chiefs yesterday at the Lakefront, coming away with another loss, 21-7. Almost as many turnovers as points in yesterday's game for the Browns. I found it interesting that we got rid of our punt returner. We cut Kadarius Toney, and then the first thing that happens for us is the muffed punt by Brochet. No matter what they do to make changes, it doesn't seem to work out for these Browns.
Yeah, that did not set a good tone. The Browns defense comes out, gets a three and out, gets a punt, and the guy fumbles the punt. The Chiefs recover to 21, going three plays later, 7-0. Browns never got back in it, really. Got down 21-0. So, yeah, it was just a sign of things to come. And you're right that, you know, that's a switch that they made because Kadarius Toney had a muff punt against Pittsburgh last week. He had a taunting penalty, so they made a definitive move to get rid of him. And then Prochet's returned a bunch of punts in his career. He's returned punts for the Browns. And, you know, he's usually reliable, but he wasn't on that first one, and it, you know, was really costly, and then it just started this avalanche of turnovers.
A lot of things happened week leading up to that, and one thing, you know, we put Dustin Hopkins on the bench, and we get a kicker who, I guess his extra point was good, but we didn't even need a kicker yesterday in that game. But let's talk, before we get into that sort of thing, it seems that the Browns really in disarray in all areas. Quarterback, benching Jamison after all those turnovers. What are they doing for the next three games? What do you think they're going to try to? How do we do? What goes on? Pardon me for stumbling, but I'm at a loss at this point of the season, really.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to start a quarterback, my guess is they go to Dorian Thompson-Robinson for the final three games. I think there's a chance they could go to Bailey Zappe, who's been the number three since Deshaun Watson got hurt in October. He started some games with New England a few years ago. So he's a possibility. You know, if the Browns think they know what they have in DTR and he's not a starter, maybe they want to get a look at Zappe. I guess you could, you know, I could see that scenario. I think DTR is more likely. He started three games as a rookie, won one of them. And maybe they want to get a longer look at him. I kind of think they know what they have, but, you know, with Winston, I thought it was going to be important to see Winston over this final stretch of games. We don't know what the Browns are going to do in 2025 at quarterback. Winston seemed like a candidate to come back and compete for the starting job. And I hate to read too much into a game or even a couple of games, but when Winston's history has been throwing interceptions and then he continues to do it, it's 8 in the last three games. I think that's the end for him. I don't think he's going to start anymore this season, and I'd be surprised if he came back. It just feels like, okay, this is what you have. The turnovers are killers. All coaches hate him, but Kevin Stefanski really hates them. And I think Winston played himself and threw himself out of the starting job this year and a future with the Browns after this. Now, maybe I'm wrong about that, but that's how I feel. It felt like that at the stadium yesterday. And then, so they, you know, they have somebody playing quarterback, and then it's a matter of trying to salvage something in these final three games and still play hard and maybe win one. You got division games with Cincinnati and Baltimore left. You got a game with Miami at home that right now is supposed to be a Sunday nighter. My guess is it gets moved out of Sunday night to 1 o'clock because it's kind of a dog game. So, you know, try to salvage anything you can. The guys, you know, individual guys play for themselves. Myles Garrett's going for 100 sacks. And, you know, some guys trying to pad some numbers, some guys trying to keep their jobs and keep a spot for next year because you don't know how big the turnover. There's going to be some turnover next year. I don't think there's any question about that. But you don't know how big it is. So everybody's kind of playing for a job.
Somebody who's kind of done for the season, Nick Chubb, broken foot. What does his future look like with the Browns?
Yeah, I mean, that's another great question. I mean, there really is so much uncertainty, and Nick Chubb's part of that. Now, it's tough because we've talked about it before. Everybody loves Nick Chubb. All his teammates, his coaches, the front office, everybody. The fans love this guy. He's been crazy productive, but he is in the last year of his contract. He's closing in on 30. what do you do? And this year, when he came back October 20th, until he broke the foot yesterday, he did not look like the old Nick Chubb. He did not look like a number one running back in this league that he has been his whole career. Now, there's also a belief that sometimes it takes the second year to fully come back from a huge knee injury. But you never know if he's going to come all the way back, right? Some guys just don't. So hopefully, I think it would be benefit everyone if they could work something out and Chubb could return on a cheap deal, because I don't think there's going to be a lot of interest around the league. You don't want to insult him, but I think that feels like the right move is to bring him back on a cheap deal and see if he can turn back into Nick Chubb. Now, that doesn't mean you don't have to go address the running back situation, because I don't think you can count on Nick Chubb being your number one next year. But hopefully, I think everybody would like to see him come back. And Joe Bitonio said it, that he's on the right. If he wants to come back, he should be able to come back.
It's a little like the Shane Bieber situation with the Guardians, right? You know, you got this guy that's really doing well. You hope for well. Injury kind of derails, you know, a trajectory on certain things, and you just hope things work out for him. Let's talk a little bit about Jerry Jeudy. I mean, that's a little bright spot, 1,000 yards, an independent sort of statistic for him. So he seems to be something that we can kind of at least hope for next year on.
Yeah, when you go through the roster, you go, okay, you know, you have Myles Garrett, and he's elite. You have Denzel Ward, and he's elite. You go to the other side of the ball, and Jerry Jeudy is one staple, and he's guaranteed to come back. They gave him a extension when they signed him, and I raised my eyebrows because they didn't need to give him that extension, and it was, you know, 3 years and $52.5 million, which right now feels like a great deal. At the time, it's like, man, this guy hasn't done anything to deserve it in his 4 years with Denver. But certainly it looks like the Browns got it right. He's having the best year of his career, 1,000 yards for the first time, and a career high 11 catches yesterday. And now the question is, can he be a number one? And he certainly has looked that way really since Winston took over at quarterback in week 8. He looks like a legitimate number one receiver. And why that matters is it changes your offseason priorities. If you thought Jeudy was, it's just labels, but if you thought he's a number two receiver, then getting a number one would be a high priority, whether it's in draft or trade or free agency, whatever. But if you think Judy's the number one, then maybe you can wait in the draft to go get a number two or number three, wherever you view the rest of your guys in that receiving core. So he's been a revelation over these last 7 or 8 games, and it doesn't feel like a fluke. It feels legitimate to me.
Sometimes, though, depending on who the quarterback is, it sort of influences the careers of receivers for sure. So we'll have to, that's another mystery at this point, and we're not quite sure. Let's move on to our kicker, who was off this week. What's the story with Dustin Hopkins? What are they going to be doing in the next couple of weeks with him? And are we still going to have two kickers on our team?
Yeah, you probably will, just because, you know, let's say they go back to Hopkins Sunday in Cincinnati and he misses more kicks, then I don't think it hurts to have Patterson on the practice squad for those final couple of games. But it's really unusual to give a kicker a break during a season. Like, that doesn't happen. Guys get hurt, sure. But usually when it gets to a point where you think the kicker needs a break, you just cut the kicker. You know, I mean, you see that turnover all the time in this league. You've seen it with the Browns. You know, within the last few years, it's happened. They cycle through kickers. The difference with Hopkins is, we talk about giving an early extension. The Browns gave him an extension in the offseason, 3 years, $15.9 million. And he was already signed through 2024, so there was no need to give him the extension. He's coming off a great year in 2023. He made 33 of 36 field goals, made all this, I think it was 8 for 8 from 50 yards. But they give him this extension in that he's 34 now, and it just felt unnecessary at the time, especially given, I mean, he's a 10-year veteran, so there is a track record, but we know kickers are fickle. It can go 1 year to the next. My point is, he has this extension, so the Browns are committed to him. And they're 3-11, so it doesn't matter if they get, you know, they can give him a week off and try to figure it out with him. It's not affecting, you know, the rest of the season. You know, it's not affecting the results. So they gave him a break. Kevin Stefanski said there's a chance he could come back and kick next week. Hopkins, you know, I talked to him Friday, was not thrilled about the idea of getting a break. that he didn't ask for it, wasn't thrilled about having a second kicker on the roster. But that's reality because he's missed six of his last nine field goals. So I think they'll give him another shot. I don't know if it'll be Cincinnati or within the last two games. I think you want to try to get him into the offseason with a positive mindset. But because financially they're committed to him, I think they're going to ride it out until he misses kicks next year. I think he's going to get the chance to stick around as long as possible just because they're so committed to him.
All right, the Bengals on schedule. There was a flex schedule off the Thursday back to a Sunday game that people in Cleveland and Cincinnati may be watching. I don't know. But what do we expect for these two teams that had better hopes for this season than they are right now?
Well, you should expect a lot of points from Cincinnati because I know what their record is, but they score a bunch of points. Joe Burrow's playing at an elite level, like MVP type of level if the Bengals were any better as a team. Now, their defense has let them down all year long, and it's a surprise because I think they have a really good defensive coordinator. So depending on who plays quarterback for the Browns, they need somebody that can go match Joe Burrow. And I thought like Winston might be able to do that. We saw him in Denver on that Monday night game. Can put up a bunch of points when he's hot. It's a bad defense. But I don't know if Winston will get that chance. But I would expect Joe Burrow to be able to move the ball. He's just that good. I know the Browns have had a lot of success against Joe Burrow in his career. But he's playing really well. So I think the Browns are going to need to score some points to go down to Cincinnati. And pull off what I assume. I haven't seen a point spread, but I'm assuming the Browns are underdogs and pull off an upset.
All right. Well, we look forward to talking to you guests next Monday after the Bengals game as well. Thanks for your time, Scott.
Thanks.
Scott Petrick of the Chronicle Telegram and BrownsZone.com here talking Browns football. It's brought to you by Jamelis Wilson, Merrill & Fritz Company, Attorneys at Law, and Royal Business Equipment. I'm Bruce Van Dyke on WEOL.